So good morning, my name is Josef. I just want to say a little bit about me. I work here from the office every Tuesday. If you would like to meet me or have coffee with me, I would appreciate to talk to you. You can have my phone number and email address on the website. If you don't have time Tuesday, still you can reach out to me. I would be happy to see you. If you would like mission, I would like to go to SFU and meet the students there, talk about God, and have coffee with them. I would be happy if you would like to join, so you can talk to me about that. Every Saturday, our college and career community gathers together. As an associate pastor, I am signed to work with our college and career and outreach service. So they are coming every Saturday. I would be happy if you would like to join us. Our college and career will embrace you. I believe that. And every month, one Friday, we gather together right now to have sport night. And we just had our first sport night, so I would be happy if you can join that. And also, I am partner for our Cubs Bread Ministry. And I would be happy if you would like to join me, just call me, and wherever there is a bread, whenever there is bread, so we can go and pick it up and bring it to the church, pray for it, and hopefully we can understand better how God works among people, even through the loaves of bread. This morning, as I was praying to bring the message for you, my prayer was this: God, show me who I am and who you are. I know some of my sins, but not everything. So please show me more. I remembered Apostle Paul, who near the end of his life said, "I am the worst sinner." Paul sought healing and wanted to be more like Christ until the day he died. Let's pray together before we listen to God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your love towards us. Father, my prayer for us this morning is to know ourselves, ask you for healing, and become more like Christ, and remember it's a good place to be when we can admit I am the worst sinner, because it leads us to depend on you and receive healing and bless others. We really need you, Father, and may the Holy Spirit help us to live like Christ and grow in him. In Jesus' name, amen. As I look around the room today, I see many seats. These seats represent more than just physical space. These chairs reminds us of the people we long to see here, those who have not yet experienced God's love, those whose hearts are still searching for hope and salvation, and even those who are on a journey with God but are facing many struggles. Each empty seat tells the story of someone who is battling pain, loneliness, pride, or the heavy pressure of succeed. And let us be honest, our hearts are still fighting our own battles. Many of us face anger, discrimination, doubt, pride, and temptation each day, every day in our life. Yet among all these challenges, there is one beautiful truth. God sees us. I invite you now to take a moment of personal reflection. Could you please close your eyes? And imagine yourself in this room. Now imagine this. We cannot tell if everyone else has their eyes closed. Yet even you cannot see the face of those around you. Know that God's caring eyes are upon you. He sees every detail, your joys, your hidden sorrows, your sins, and your hopes. Now open your eyes, please. It was a short time. You closed your eyes. So remember, God sees you completely. He doesn't look at you to judge you. He sees you so that he can heal and restore you. God wants us to be like him, to treat people with dignity and integrity rather than judging, to have joy rather than sorrow, and to have hope rather than being hopeless, to be holy rather than struggling with sins. That's why he reminded us, before you come for the communion, check your heart. The doctor must, God sees you completely. Think about a person who is sick with cancer. I chose cancer specifically because that's personal to me. I lost loved one at home, and I lost loved one here in Canada, in North America. And my own wife is a cancer-free who battled leukemia. And also, we lost some friends in this church. And also, we have some brothers and sisters who are struggling right now with cancer, as I am talking right now. When someone has cancer, they need a doctor who can see every detail of their condition. The doctor must examine every part of the body to understand what is wrong, and they try to heal their patient if they can. Even after treatment, the patient needs regular checkups to make sure the healing continues. In the same way, our lives have many hidden parts: our pain, our sins, our sorrows. If God couldn't see every detail of our lives, if he couldn't see every detail of our lives, who would know exactly how to help us heal? So just as a cancer patient needs a doctor, we need God. Today we explore what it means to live in God's kingdom and follow his radical call. Jesus invites us to live a life filled with hope, freedom, and real transformation. We will learn about this call in three parts. First, kingdom attitudes that shape our relationship with God. Second, kingdom mission that calls us to be salt and light in a dark world. And third, kingdom righteousness that challenges us to live in a true and authentic way for God. Let's begin by reading the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. In this sermon, Jesus teaches the Beatitudes, a list of blessings that invites us to live in a new way. They are not just great ideas. They are a guide for living a life that shows God's love. So as you listen to these words, ask God to open your hearts to these life-changing truths. Let me read some of the verses. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Our first point, kingdom attitude, how the Beatitudes shape our relationship with God. The Beatitudes might seem foreign at first because our culture values other things like strength, power, self-interest, self-centeredness, and independence. You see, Jesus blesses those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. These blessings challenge you and me to think differently while we are living on earth. Jesus' words are meant to transform our hearts and actions, even in the smallest everyday moments. For example, during a Bible study on James chapter 3, verse 1, a group discussed the power of words. Here is James 3:1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers or my sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with great strictness. The scripture said that those who proclaim that they are going to follow Christ, they will be judged. This was the group discussed when they discussed the power of words. One person shared how a careless comment had caused hurt, while another talked about choosing prayer and seeing how it brought peace. You know, the world is truly tired of empty words and seek something tangible. So do your words reflect the humility and grace Jesus calls you to live out? This is how the Beatitude works. They are more than just words. They invite us to live with humility and gentleness, letting God shape every part of our life. A couple of weeks ago, our women's Bible study group asked me to speak on 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, only for a couple of minutes. It's a very important passage. They wanted to know how to answer when someone asks why we believe in God. Apostle Peter helps us see that when we live to honor Christ, our actions and characters reflect His love and character. Here is what Paul says. But in your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. So when we treat people with dignity and integrity, that matters to God. Not necessarily just our knowledge. We can help others know why we believe in God, but we have to carry on gentleness and respect. So let me read some of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Being poor in spirit means recognizing your need for God. In a world that teaches us to depend only on ourselves, this can be hard. I think it's impossible, actually. Think of a small child who trusts a parent completely. There is no pretense. As an adult, we pretend a lot. Child has only pure dependence. In the same way, our honest trust in God, even when we feel broken, invites Him to work powerfully in our lives and to give us strength. He also mentioned, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourning is more than just feeling. It's a deep sorrow for the sin and brokenness in our lives and in the world around us. Many people try to hide their pain and quickly move on. But Jesus teaches that there is a blessing in true sorrow. A sorrow that leads to repentance opens our hearts to God's healing touch. So when we allow ourselves to feel this honest grief, we show that we care about how the world should be. That's what Jesus called us, to care about how the world should be. In our mourning, He steps in to comfort us with His love. He also mentioned, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Some people think being meek means being weak or fearful. But Jesus tells us that meekness is a choice, choosing humility instead of pride, gentleness instead of aggression, and trust instead of control. Think of a gentle stream that slowly shapes hard rock, not with power, but with constant calm movement. And that's the power of the meek. They do not try to control or dominate others, but serve with humble heart and trust in God's plan and timing. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Our world says, don't worry about right and wrong, and often tempts us with promise of pleasure, wealth, or success. But these things leave us empty. When we truly long for righteousness and goodness, God blesses us. This longing is not a weak desire. It's a powerful call to live for what is good. I remember a touching moment at the Last Supper when Jesus said, one of you will betray me. Instead of blaming someone else, each disciple was struck by the need to examine their own heart. In that quiet, tense moment, one of them asked, is it me, Lord? That single question shows through humility and the desire to be right with God. You know, in my 20 years of following Christ, I have rarely heard anyone ask, is it me, Lord? Yet that simple question is a powerful step towards transformation. In summary, the Beatitudes reminds us that kingdom attitudes are not about outward appearance, social status, or even knowledge of God. I say knowledge of God, I just remembered one of my friend who was a family doctor. He became Christian, and also he approached to learn more about Christ, and he got his PhD in theology as well. So he had two PhD, and I think he was the first Muslim background from my country, first person who got his PhD in theology. Whenever they invited him to seminars and he came and spoke, he never introduced himself. In our private meeting, people asked him, why you don't introduce yourself? He mentioned, because I want to go and meet those who never heard the gospel. There are countries that they are run by dictatorship. And then he said, I have two PhD, and God reminded me to put it under the cross of Christ, so I'm not going to be pride, because I need him. You know, God's words will be preached with or without us. Whether we are poor in spirit or not, mourning for our sins or ignoring it, meek or proud, God's word will continue to spread. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18, Paul mentions that some preach out of jealousy or self-interest, but God doesn't focus on who is preaching. What matters to God is the condition of our souls and spirits. That matters to God. The Beatitudes reminds us of this truth. Our humility, our attitude towards others, and our openness to God's will are what truly matters in His kingdom. So when we align our lives with God's values and character, we reflect His heart to the world. When we let our sorrow over sin bring us to repentance, when we choose meekness over pride, and when we deeply desire righteousness, we begin to live the Beatitudes as the true citizens of God's kingdom and carry out His mission, which is our second point here. Kingdom mission, living as salt and light. Jesus uses two powerful images, salt and light, in Matthew chapter 5, 13 to 16, to explain our mission in the world. Salt has two main purposes in nature. First, it keeps food from going bad. Second, it makes food taste better. I think we all know this. It's simple, but it's very difficult to live such life. In the same way, Christians are called to be like salt in their communities. We are here to protect what is good and show God's love to others. When we stand for truth, show kindness during tough times, or stay strong in our faith, we help make the world a better place. Imagine a neighborhood where people feel sad and stop trusting each other. And maybe you are right now in that situation. In a place like this, small acts of kindness, like saying something nice, saying sorry when you make a mistake, or listening to someone's problems, can remind them of God's goodness. These small actions may not seem important to the world, but they are vital to our Christian faith. He also tells us that we are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. This means our lives should shine with the hope of God, even when the world around us is dark and uncertain. When we let our light shine, our actions become clear signs of God's love. Think about a small lamp in a dark room. Even if the lamp is not very large, it can change a dark room. In the same way, even a small act of kindness or a simple smile can change someone's day. The call to be salt and light is not just for special times. It is for every moment and every person. So we shouldn't choose who we want to talk or who we don't, who we want to love or who we don't. Every person we meet at home, at work, or in our community is an opportunity to show God's love and truth. So this means we should be ready in every moment to be kind, to be patient, and to live with integrity toward everyone who comes into our lives. I invite you today to think about your daily routines. Ask yourself, how can I show God's love to my family and friends? How can I be a good example in my workplace? How can I bring light to my neighborhood? Maybe it's by listening carefully when someone talks, offering help without being asked, or forgiving someone who has hurt you. When we make these choices every day, our lives can show others the hope of God. As a Christian community, we are called to support and encourage each other. It's a two-way relationship that helps us grow together. It's not one way. It's not gonna work. It's like a marriage life. By sharing our struggles and helping each other, we can share God's hope. By being salt and light, we are living out God's kingdom righteousness, which is our last point here. Kingdom righteousness. Living out authentic righteousness in God's kingdom. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, Jesus challenges us to seek a righteousness that goes beyond just following rules or looking good on the outside. Today, many people practice superficial righteousness, which means doing good things just to receive praise or to gain something from others, whether it's financial, emotional, or social. I think we all experience this. If you are at school, high school, university, go to work, our school teaches us to compete with one another, even in an unfair way of life. We don't like to teach each other things, even little students. You go to university, the same things you see. You go to work, you see boss. He doesn't want to give up his position, so he doesn't care about what is right and wrong. He just wants to keep his position. Whatever he wants to do, he wants to do it. Workers are in competition with one another, talking negative about each other, judging one another in order to get promotion. In such world, Jesus warns that unless our righteousness is deeper than the Pharisees, who focused more on appearance than on the heart, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees worked hard to look religious, but their hearts were not truly changed. True righteousness comes from a heart transformed by God's love As Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, without love, even our best actions are empty. That's crazy. You help people, you pay money to the church, but it can be empty? Yeah, it's what he said. That's a culture shock for me coming from non-Christian background. Think of the story of the Good Samaritan, a religious leader and a temple helper saw the injured man, but passed because it didn't benefit them. It didn't benefit them. The Samaritan, however, stopped to help. He gave his time, money, and resources to show love and kindness, expecting nothing in return. This is true kingdom righteousness, loving and serving others selflessly as God loves us. So let me give you an example. It's a simple example. Imagine two people volunteering at a shelter. One does it to earn respect or gain something in return. The other volunteers out of genuine compassion and a desire to share God's love. Even though both people do the same work, spend the same time, only the second person shows true righteousness. Righteousness comes from actions done with a caring heart, expecting nothing in return. Ask yourself, why are you doing what are you doing? Sometimes people come to the church, I had that experience, that they're looking for a paperwork that it can be done for them. So they ask me, do you have a volunteer job? Because I need a paper to show to my workplace. I can't say anything, but to our young adults, as I'm building relationship with them, I can tell them, be careful. It is very important to have God's character. I know it's very difficult because we are saturated by the world's things. Another example, sometimes parents who failed in their own lives forced their children to do things they couldn't do themselves. For example, a father wanted to be a doctor but couldn't, so he pushes his son or daughter to become one. I share this because of this. Sometimes we desire things we don't have and try to force others to achieve them for us. Not out of gentleness and respect. We don't care about what is right and wrong. We just want our desire to be reached. And we couldn't do it and we force others. Even though these dreams are pure and good, I hope we acknowledge that righteousness matters to God. It's very important to consider what is right. Let us consider four important aspects of kingdom righteousness. First aspect, righteousness that comes from the heart. True righteousness is not about keeping a long list of rules or doing everything perfectly. It comes from a heart that has been renewed by Jesus. When our actions come from a heart filled with love and humility, they have a power that no human effort can match. So ask yourself, do my actions show that my heart is truly changed? And this is one of my stories. I didn't write here, I just remembered. I hope I'm not taking your time. I was a refugee prisoner 20 years ago. A drug dealer came to my cell after 18 years of being in prison, and he was going to be released. He was from Italy. His name was Armani, and I still remember his name, his white hair. He entered the cell with a smile on his face. 4 months I was there, I didn't see a smile. And when he was going to leave, he offered me to release me because the immigration wants me to pay $5,000 to be released. And he said, I'm going to pay the bail. Anyway, I said no to him, and the tears came to his eyes, and he hugged me. And that was the first hug after I left my parents, after 10 months being separated from my family and loved one. No human effort can match, only God's love, even small smile, little love. So ask yourself, do my actions show that my heart is truly changed? Second aspect, a call to honest self-examination. In Matthew 7, 3-5, Jesus uses the image of the speck and the plank. Jesus talks about the small mistake in someone else's eye and the big problem in our own. He reminds us to look at our own mistakes first before trying to fix others. So it's about realizing we all need pure motives. Each day, ask yourself, is it me, Lord? Is it me, Lord? This helps us check if we are acting with pure motives and keeps us humble, knowing we are not perfect either. Instead of quickly pointing out others' mistakes, we should first focus on improving ourselves. It's about being kind and patient with others, just as God is with us. Third aspect is righteousness beyond appearance. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:16 to let our light shine through good deeds so others will see and praise God. Righteousness is not about getting attention or praise. It's about pointing others to God's goodness, not pointing others to ourselves. So when you help others or speak kind words, do it sincerely, so people can see the truth of God's love and character in you. And fourth aspect, combining love with action. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we learn that love is the foundation of everything we do, whether you are helping someone or just having a simple conversation. If your actions are not filled with love, they are empty. God calls us to match our actions with love. True righteousness is not about putting on a show. It's about letting God work in us so that every word, every action, and every thought is an expression of His love. So when we allow God's transforming power to change us, our lives become a clear message to the world, a message that says, I belong to God, and His love is the source of all my work. I just remembered last week, Ricky, our sister, got baptized. And this was her word. She's dealing with cancer, and she said, I am not for myself. I am for the Lord. I belong to God. As we finish, let's think about the key parts of God's kingdom and how they can change our lives. First, kingdom attitudes. Jesus teaches us to live holy, to be humble, to be sorry for our sins, and treat others with dignity and integrity. The Beatitudes help us understand that we depend on God, and He is working to change us from the inside out. For example, when we admit our mistakes and ask for God's help, we are showing humility and openness to change. Second, kingdom mission. We are called to be salt and light, which means making a difference in the world through acts of kindness, truth, and love. Even the smallest thing matter. For example, when we take a loaf of bread, like when we pick up Cubs bread, and share it with someone, whether they are rich or poor. That simple act of kindness can reflect God's love. I emphasize, whether they are rich or poor. Jesus Christ, the God of this universe, became flesh, came on earth, died for our sins. On the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. And He invited everyone, rich and poor. He invited Trump, He invited Putin, He invited colonizers. I'm coming from a country that is colonized to these days. And I came to the country that it was colonized. And even to this day, the government is still not the people of this land. He put his spirit on every human being to remind us, don't judge. Actually, when he invites people, he says, repent to me, Yosef, pray for yourself. Then I can learn to pray for others, rich or poor. One loaf of bread is not going to make anyone rich or anyone poor. This is one thing Pastor Dave mentioned this morning. Take the loaves of bread, take it to your neighborhood. You can take the bread and go to your neighbor and my name is Yosef, I'm your neighbor. Here is a loaf of bread. The cup's bread is blessing our church and I want to give it to you. I just remembered for you. You know what you're doing? You care. You thought about someone. You planted the seed. No matter they are poor or rich. Third part, the key part, kingdom righteousness. True righteousness is not about looking good on the outside, but having a heart changed by God's love, by his character. It is about checking our motives, being sincere, and acting with love. For instance, if you help someone because you truly care and not because you want praise, you are showing righteousness from the heart. As you go home and start your week, try to put these things into practice. First, reflect deeply. Take a moment each day to pray and ask, is it me, Lord? Allow God to speak to your heart and guide your actions. As you are praying for yourself, pray for your neighbors. I hope you remember me too. Pray for me too. I'm preaching to myself. Pray for me so I also can live such a life. Act intentionally. Look for one practical way to be salt and light. Whether it's showing kindness to someone, reaching out to a friend, or making things right with someone you have hurt. Act intentionally. Third, examine your motives. Keep asking, why am I doing this? Why am I saying this? Make sure your actions are sincere and honor God, not for attention or personal gain. Third, trust the process. It's very important. God's kingdom on earth is a journey. Trust that God is working in you each day, even when changes feel small, even when people judge you, even you don't be discouraged. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, the struggle you face now are small compared to the eternal glory that God has prepared for us. And finally, live for God's glory. Live for God's glory, not for church only. We don't want to just act to be religious. So when you act from a pure heart, it changes not only your life, but also brings hope to others. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. You don't encourage us. You are a good doctor who sees us, everything about us you know. Thank you for your calling us into your kingdom, a kingdom marked by love, humility, and truth. So forgive us for the times we have been prideful or hidden our pain. Empower us with your spirit. If we are weak, but we see our sins, We ask you to empower us with your spirit to be salt and light in our communities. Help us to have your characters in our life. I'm not worthy to pray such prayer for my community. I pray for myself and I pray for them by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as we go home, we go with your love, with your humility and truth, and share it with our family, with our children, with our neighborhood. In Jesus' name, amen. I think the benediction was the worship that we sang. I hope that God give you joy as you're going out, and remember that he shed the blood for you so he can bring joy to our life, so that the world who do not know him and his love and his character, they will see it in us.